Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Monday, April the 26th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics. We're on page 53, the first paragraph, Logic is Great Stuff. And we'll be studying that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Pam M., the 12 Traditions, Joanne L., and the readers of the text are Shelley E. and Mary B., and I have Lorraine A. The share ID for Sunday, April 25th is 16,832. That's 16832. And for this morning's meeting at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, April 26th is 16,835. That's 16835. And the newcomer greeter is Lorraine N. And the announcements person is Leslie M. And she's also going to be reading page 164 for us. Thank you, Leslie. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Pam M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. In upstate New York, this is Pam M., happily abstinent and grateful to be alive today. And forgive the baby girl here in the background. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and food behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics, or to compulsive overeaters, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Pam M., and the little one. And now I will ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Joanne. Press star 1 to unmute, Joanne.
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Mo. I'm sorry I was talking away. And hello to everybody out there. My name is Joanne L., recovered in Rhode Island. the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. A public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain our personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And it's been a pleasure doing service this month. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Joanne. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And that's the star 1 function on the phone, not your mute button. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 53, the first paragraph at the top of the page in We Agnostics. Logic is great stuff, and I am going to ask Shelley E. to get us started. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Page 53. Logic is great stuff. We liked it. We still like it. It's not by chance we were given the power to reason, to examine the evidence of our senses, and to draw conclusions. That is one of man's magnificent attributes. We agnostically inclined would not feel satisfied with a proposal which does not lend itself to reasonable approach and interpretation. Hence, we are at pains to tell why we think our present faith is reasonable, why we think it is more sane and logical to believe than not to believe, why we say our former thinking was soft and mushy when we threw up our hands in doubt and said, we do not know. So I signed in today as the backup reader, and God had a different plan. And so I am reading this, most certainly not for the first time, but for the first time today. And I don't do well on the fly, but I'm going to do it today. I can tell you when I read We Agnostics, for the first time, I do remember telling my sponsor that I probably could skip this chapter because I was real firm on where I was with God, and agnostic certainly did not apply to me or to my beliefs. And gratefully, she said, well, you know, why don't we just go ahead and read it anyway? And I could recognize myself in almost every one of these pages of the chapter. And I was completely different than I realized I was. And logic has never been able to define my disease. Insanity is the perfect description of my disease. I thought I knew, but boy, I sure didn't know what I was. I didn't know I needed help finding power. I'm grateful that I came in on my knees, miserable, not knowing my next right action. I had tried everything besides surgery, and nothing was working for me. And I knew how to lose weight, and boy, I knew how to gain it. But I just didn't understand what my problem was. I knew I had a problem, but I didn't know what it was. And the first day, the first time my butt hit that chair in OA, I thought, oh my God, I've found my people, I've found my place, and I finally know what my problem might be. So anyways, since that time, I have found a power. I am tested all the time. I'll say this morning was a test. And last night, I have a child in program, and I wanted to worry whether or not he had gone out. But, you know, my worrying about that means I am not trusting that child to God. And that my God takes care of those, my child. And so I have to remember that. I have to remember that my program is mine and his program is his. But again, I'm tested all the time. And for that, I'm grateful because it does show me where I need to do work. And boy, I still do need to do work. And with that, I pass. And everybody have a great day.
Well, thank you, Laura. Laura R. for stepping up. And Shelley E. Sorry. Thank you, Shelley E. for stepping up and doing that for us. God is in charge. So, again, I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're in the We Agnostics chapter, page 53, the first paragraph. Logic is great stuff. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph today?
Bonnie B. from Minnesota.
Bonnie B.
Alice A.
Alice
Karen
A.
T.
Karen T.
Kathleen
Carol.
O.
Karen T. Kathleen O, I heard. Who was that after Kathleen?
Mary G.
Mary G. Did I hear anybody else? I have Bonnie B., Alice A., I think it was Karen T., Kathleen O., and Mary G.
Deborah G.
Deborah G., okay. Stop there. Deborah G. So Bonnie B., Alice A., Karen T., Kathleen O., Mary G., and Deborah G. Nice lineup. Thank you very much. All right, Bonnie, will you get us started? Good morning, Bonnie. Everybody else, press mute.
Thank you so much. Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for your service this morning. Bonnie B., Minnesota, gratefully recovered for today. So delighted to be on this line. So logic, I mean, that last sentence is the one that jumped out to me. My logic in every area of my life is limited to what I know. That's all there is to it. When this was being read and the first reader was sharing, I was thinking back to how I had issues with one of my knees several years back, and I went to every medical doctor there was, and no one could figure anything out. And finally, someone said to me, would you ever consider looking at functional medicine, which was totally outside Western medicine. And I threw my hands up in the air and said, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I guess. And what he asked me to do and what he did was so non-traditional and yet totally got healed. Can I explain it? I can't explain any of it. I went in there with my hands up in the air because I had tried everything else. None of what I thought was logic made sense. And yet I went in there because I had come to the end of myself. And to, you know, as of today, I have, again, no pain in that knee. It's completely gone. I liken my program to that. You know, I went down that path. This is the last house on the block. None of this made sense to me. I had a relationship with a higher power. Why couldn't I connect? It didn't make any sense to me. And yet, doing what we are told to do and stepping into the role that I was asked to step into brought me to a God that I had never understood, and a God that set me free from a bondage that I've been in my entire life. I've been set free. I don't know how to explain it to anyone else. It's like nothing I've ever experienced, but I am so grateful for it. And the whole idea of logic, I do think we have to get to a point where we just say, I don't know, but I know that God knows, and I have to be willing to try something different. I have to be willing to think outside that box. And so grateful for this program, grateful for this group, and grateful for everyone who shares daily. Thank you much, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Alice A., what is your name and where you're from? Good morning, Alice.
Thank you. This is Alice A. from Alabama on this beautiful sunny day here. I think I'm like one of the earlier callers who said, you know, the chapter on agnostics. I had gone to church and had a belief in God all my life. But the more I read this chapter, I remember reading somewhere, and it may have been here in the big book, that this is a textbook. You study it, and every time I read it, I get more out of this chapter. And I kind of like to think of this paragraph as the beginning of a transition to a willingness to believe in a higher power. We agnostics had believed in science that we could not see, such as electricity. We were willing to believe in new and future scientific progress, yet faith or a belief in a higher power is just out of our realm of belief. And why is this? Who knows, but our lives were unmanageable, full of bedevilment. Yet we saw people of faith solve their problems with reliance on a higher power. What were we to do? As a child, the God of my understanding was always more judgmental. I felt I was judged on my good works, and you know, when I died, if I had a lot of good works, then I went to heaven. If I didn't, I went to hell. And so when I came into program, you know, this was not the idea of a loving power that I could see to feel and depend on to be there for me. Today, my higher power, whom I call God, is the spirit of the universe. I like the phrase that he or she is as close as my breath and is with me always and only wants the best for me. And with that, I pass, and thank you for allowing me to share.
And thank you, Alice A. from Alabama. Karen T., followed by Kathleen O. Karen, do I have the initial of your last name correct?
You do. This is Karen T. as in thankful, calling in from New Orleans, Louisiana. Thank you so much, Mo. Thank you for everyone who's done service this morning, especially off the cuff, Shelley, she did a great job. Logic is great stuff. So when I came into OA, the evidence of my senses was that I would promise myself every morning that I wouldn't eat between breakfast and lunch. And a lot of mornings before coming into OA, I could not keep that promise. And so I wasn't able to follow a food plan before coming. That was the evidence. And for me, I had a roommate. I was in college, and she was able to abstain. She was in OA, and she could abstain, and she had lost 50 pounds. And so the conclusion was my way wasn't working. So then I came into OA. And there is something in OA that does not seem logical, but it's the evidence of my senses that it works. And that is this: if I stop worrying about the food, turn that over to God, and instead spend my willpower on seeking God, on doing these steps, by turning my will and my life over, inventorying step 11, and step 12, helping others. But if I spend my effort and energy working on that, God takes care of the food problem. And it's easy to stay in the recovered state. I'm just hesitating because I realized I forgot to say that I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm just so excited to tell you that I was from New Orleans and to thank people. I forgot to mention that. So I am recovered by the grace of God. And so today I need to keep pursuing, you know, enlarge my spiritual life. And that doesn't seem logical. That it's not, I don't use my willpower. And I don't find the better food plan or any of that. The formula, the logical formula for me now is trust God, clean house, help others, and then my food is taken care of. So, and that now seems reasonable to me. It is more sane and logical to believe than not to believe, because it works. My former thinking was soft and mushy, it turns out. And my time is up. Thank you so much, Mo.
Yeah, thank you, Karen T. From Louisiana, Kathleen O. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. So, you know, we're given reasons in this chapter to open our minds. And I realized I was out without power when it came to controlling food. You know, I have had hundreds and hundreds of experiences to prove it. You know, a normal eater can eat something and stop. I couldn't stop. I just don't have a shut-off valve. So the foundation that God exists could and did allow some soundness of mind when it came to food. And logic is great stuff, you know. Logic, it's a reasonable way of thinking of something, and it's a way that we make sense of things. So it would seem logical that if I went on a diet, calories in, calories out, that I'd be thin. So yeah, logic is great stuff, but it didn't work. In this sentence, hence we are at pains to tell you, to tell why we think our present faith is reasonable. And reasonable, you know, is sensible and rational. So if nothing else I did worked, then it seemed reasonable to believe that possibly something greater than me could solve this eating problem. But reason on its own wasn't dependable. The previous paragraph referred to the Wright brothers that, you know, if they had gone on reason and logic, they may have believed the so-called proof we had that we couldn't fly. But the Wright brothers went on faith. And having an open mind and having faith can make what seems to be impossible possible. So I'd rather go to the end of life believing in God and finding out there isn't one, than go through and you know, not believing and finding out there is a God. So what do I have to lose? And this chapter is giving us all sorts of good reasons to believe in a power greater than ourselves. And, you know, I believe in all sorts of technology that I don't understand, but I see the results. So we agnostics really need to stop fighting the idea that there isn't a higher power. You know, I don't need to understand it. I just need to believe in it, because relying on myself wasn't working and nothing was taking away the pain that my out of control eating was causing. So today I do rely on a higher power and it's working. I don't understand how it works, but I see the results. So I believe. And because when I relied on myself and my own thinking, my life was a mess. You know, I choose to be guided by God because that power greater than me always has a better idea if I just pause and listen and trust. And faith truly keeps me sane. Faith gave me hope when I was hopeless. And it comes from the heart. You know, it doesn't come from the head. It offers hope. So So having faith in something greater than me could solve my eating problem, and living today where I have a solution, a design for living. It works, and I'm holding on to it, and I pass. Thanks, Mo.
Time. Oh, perfect. Okay. Thank you, Kathleen O. from California. Mary G., you're up next, followed by Deborah G. Let us know where you're from, Mary.
Hi, this is Mary G. from Arizona, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Oh, thank you so much for this paragraph. I really love it. Thank you for the first reader. I, too, when I first came into program, just skipped over this chapter completely. I was not going through the big book. I simply read it as a novel the first time I read it. I think it took me maybe 2 days, 2 or 3 days, and I really thought the first 164 pages were so boring. I thought, why do they even have these in here? I liked the stories. I thought they were pretty good. But what I never realized was when those last three words, they say, what we don't know, I didn't think there was anything I didn't know about faith or about God. I thought that, you know, I knew exactly what a spiritual awakening was. I'd had one. You know, I knew exactly what the will of God was. I was doing it. I was so arrogant. You know, to even hear myself say it now, I cringe. And so for me, faith, I could never really understand because I thought, I have faith. I don't doubt. You know, I always thought the opposite of faith was doubt. And I heard recently someone say that the opposite of faith is certainty. You know, I am certain that I know everything about this program. You know, I am certain that I know everything about my higher power's will. And I just, it was like a light bulb went off in my head and I went, that is exactly my experience. I thought I knew everything. And because of that, I spent 17 years of a lot of pain and a lot of relapse, and I just could not get this program. And I remember when I finally surrendered, I had the thought, you know what you're doing is just not working. Maybe you ought to let somebody else tell you what to do. And I was so beaten down with the gaining weight, the losing weight, the gaining weight, that I just threw up my hands and I said, okay, I'm willing to do what someone else tells me to do. And, you know, it was still many years, actually, until I got into the big book and really understood that I was very agnostic. You know, even though I professed a faith and I thought that, you know, I had really turned my life and my will over to God, I really hadn't. You know, as long as, you know, I could think about it, you know, that was pretty much in my control then. And food definitely was not something that I was going to turn over. I really didn't want to turn over the food. I didn't want to let it go. I wanted to be normal. I wanted to be able to eat whatever I wanted and still be thin. Well, and I never was thin. So there it shows the insanity. I think in the program, the set-aside prayer is probably my very favorite prayer. Thank you, Mo. I won't read it, but you know, if anyone wants to know it, just look up my name and number, and I'll gladly share it with you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Mary G., for your share. Thank you, Mary G. from Arizona. And let me remind everybody where we're at, because after the next share of Deborah G., I will take more names. We're on in the chapter We Agnostic on page 53, the first paragraph, Logic is Great Stuff. So, Deborah G., thank you.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for being of service and everyone that has been of service today and all the shares, because I love that phrase, we don't know. I don't know. That's why I'm on this call. That's why I'm on this meeting. That's why I have to call all of you and I have to talk to my sponsor and keep going forward with that practice of connecting on a deeper, deeper, deeper relationship with that power in step two. And recently I had to make a decision and I talked with my sponsor and I love what she said. She said to look at common sense coming from my heart and my intuition. And so that's what I did with it. And I made the decision and I called her after I made the decision, and it just felt like divine order. I love this. I love this. It's just been an amazing experience, and thank you all for continuing to help me with this, because I don't know.
Is that it? Oh, okay. Thank you, Deborah G. All right, now I'll open the, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, so like last Thursday, Friday, please go wait till tomorrow, but although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Laura M.
Oh, wait a minute. That was all a mess there. Try again.
Annabelle Z.
Sophie Z.
I got Annabelle
Z. Sophie Z.
And there was a Sophie. Sophie Z. Okay. Anyone else?
Jordan L.
Nirvana A.
Jordan L. Nirvana.
Barbara P.
Let's go back.
Barbara P.
Laura Kirkland.
Laura K.
Okay.
Okay, we'll stop there. Barbara P. Okay. We got Annabelle Z, Sophie Z, Jordan. I'm forgetting your last initial. You'll tell me. Nirvana A, Barbara P, and Laura K. I think we can do it all. All right. Annabelle Z, you're up first.
Did you call me? Annabelle.
I did.
Compulsive
yes.
Overeater. It was unmuting
yes.
when you said. Sorry.
I know.
Annabelle, compulsive
it's a
overeater
tricky thing.
In Washington. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to share today. I wasn't going to share at all about Weird Noctis for some reason. And here it does touch me, like someone else said, so much, because when I came into OA, I did have a very strong faith. In fact, it's in my personal practice that I was led to OA because I had this stronghold I identified, and I cannot stop eating, and I cannot stop thinking about food, and I compulsively eat it. I impulsively eat it. I compulsively exercise. I'm obsessed, and that obsession of the mind, reading doctor's opinion, is just like, I've got this thing, you know? And so when we got to my sponsor, I immediately started working the steps, and we kind of decided to go. She's like, I don't think you need to do the, you know, read agnostics. We'll move on. I think you're pretty solid in your faith. And, you know, I was the one that was like, well, I don't know. I don't want to skimp on anything. And so I kind of did it, but not really thoroughly, right? And doing this work now, I mean, I do have a really strong faith, but there's something about this book that is very present. So it specifically talks about present, our present faith, for one thing. So talk about the set-aside prayer, you know, like, I'm going to set aside everything I think I know about God, and because I want to have an open mind and a new experience with all these things, including you, God. And that's why they go to great pains to tell why they think their present faith is reasonable. So it's the present faith, they think it's reasonable, and they're going to great pains to tell us why. Because it's really more logical to believe than not believe. And I used to have, I mean, I did, and I still do have a very, very big faith in my higher power. I believe, I came to believe, right? But what do I do with that when I'm confronted with, oh, but I want to eat that thing now. Oh, but I want to lick this plate. Oh, but I want to, you know, put my hands in the bag. I'm standing up and I know this is off my food plan. I go, oh, and this big book, this chapter taught me to literally take my God and put him visually in between the food and my body and my mouth and my hands. And it was just a vision, a visual that God gave me. And I couldn't have got that from, you know, going to church. I just somehow, it just came out of the big book and in these meetings. And I was able to, you know, it just seemed logical to do that because nothing else worked. So it's not just the prayer and the meditation. It's kind of an action thing for me. I just have to literally go, no, God, you're there and you're enough, and speak it. I have to say, speak it. God, you're my provision. You are my fulfillment. You are enough. You are my daily food and my daily manna. And it fills me. And that's it. I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Annabelle Z from Washington. Sophie Z, followed by Jordan L. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Sophie Z, compulsive reader, recovered compulsive reader from Montreal, Canada. Wow, what a beautiful meeting this morning. Incredible. I got so much out of it. Yeah, I'm also one of those people that came in and said, I'm not agnostic. I was religious, you know, and I was so arrogant. But I know today that I know nothing. And God is in charge. And that's a blessing, really, from the program because, you know, as connected as I thought I was, it really meant nothing because whenever things didn't go my way, whenever I didn't get what I thought I needed, I was telling God, I need this, give it to me. God showed me the other way. And so I'm really grateful to be there today. I do need constant reminders. And that's why I have to work this program every day, every minute of my life, because without it, I'm nothing. And I, you know, like I'm gone, I'm a goner. So I'm grateful and I'm here to serve and that I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Sophie Z from Canada. Jordan L, followed by Nirvana A. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. my name's Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be absent and on a meeting with you guys this morning. So Bill's been talking about logic, right? And I think that this is like part of his writing style was to repeat the same thing over and over again using different words and creative language and stuff, you know? and this is kind of like the hit it home paragraph, you know? That this idea that faith and logic can't live in the same space isn't, it's false. It's not true, you know. Logic is great stuff. the power that humans have, right? Especially compared to like to other creatures, to Mother Nature, right? To reason through and to examine things and to think about the evidence and to consider, to think critically, you know, to question things and draw conclusions and all that, like that's our gift, you know, like that is like we're like God's favorite, so to speak, you know, like God gave us this ability to choose. We're not like the rest of the creatures that just go immediately with our instincts. We have this ability to choose, you know? And I think I think what it speaks to very much so, and this, like, it's taken me years to understand we agnostics this way, but I think it speaks to a loving higher power. I think it speaks to a God that loves us so much that that higher power gave us this ability to reason and to choose, and and so it's very comforting for me that logic and faith can exist in that same space. I don't have to choose between the two, you know. I get to have the best of both of those worlds, and start to move towards a place where this higher power is like infinite love, you know. So anyway, that's all I have this morning.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. Next up, Nirvana A., followed by Barbara P. Good morning, Nirvana.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service and everyone doing service Monday. And welcome to the newcomers. So I always thought, my thinking was, God gave us a brain. Use your brain. It works in logical manner. And figure things out. And don't bother God for anything else. You know, that's petty if you want to bother God for your food. And nowadays I say, if you don't know anything, Google it. The answer will be there. But as years go by, I realize the phrase, I don't know, is very powerful. It's like surrendering. I don't know. And then when you surrender and you become, your mind opens up. So if I don't know, what's the answer? You go searching for it and you become creative and you find other ways. And so I remember I was in a meditation class and the teacher said, when you speak these words, where do they go? And all the adults were like looking at each other and we were guessing things. And then there was a 13-year-old that said, I don't know. And the teacher said, yeah, that's the answer. We don't know where all this stuff goes. So, and the same thing with medicine. Dr. Silkworth was like, medicine doesn't know why you alcoholics are like this. And so today, I don't know why this God thing works, but it works. And if there's things that come up and I don't know, I'm really happy because it gives me an opportunity to learn more. So with that, I pass, and I wish everyone a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, Nirvana A. from California. Barbara P., followed by Laura K. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. Barbara P. from the Atlanta area, recovered compulsive overeater. And, wow, yeah, I didn't think I had anything to say on this either. It's so interesting, but I was the agnostic, first of all. And, you know, sometimes maybe I still am. I'm not sure. I don't believe in a deity, but I absolutely feel sure in a higher power. So, you know, how did that happen? I don't know. I was driven here by step one. Step one really showed me that, and the energy of step one took me into We Agnostics, took me into step two, because I had to stop fighting. I had nothing left. There was no reason to hold on to what I was trying to do anymore. You know, the disease drove me. And so affirm step one really took me to step two. Didn't matter that I was agnostic. I kept thinking I was skeptical. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, so that sentence just hit me so hard. Why we think it's more sane and logical to believe than not to believe. I had to stop arguing. I don't know why it's more sane and logical to believe, other than after working the steps and following directions and just doing what I was told to do, it worked. Like, it worked. And I totally have a relationship with a higher power. I don't know. My big bug guy gave me one thing, and I love this. And she said to me, you know, look, if this is a scam, maybe it is, but if this is even all a scam, I'll tell you this. I look better. I feel better. I act better. It was all for free. Like, I've never heard of a scam like that. I had nothing to lose. If it's a scam, so be it. But I'm all in. And I don't know. I have no reason to argue with it. And today I know there is something greater than myself guiding all of this. I have nothing to argue with anymore. Not with food, not with life, nothing. So there's such a peace about giving in. I can't figure why I was arguing. So anyway, with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
And next up, we have Laura Kay, and we might have a little bit of time for somebody to do a short share. We're in We Agnostics, page 53, the first paragraph, Logic is Great Stuff. And Laura Kay, you're up. Whoa.
Hi, I'm really Laura Kay. Sorry about that. I'm walking outside and a big old car came by. I'm Laura Kay. And I'm so sorry. I am from Northern California, and I am just delighted to be part of this meeting. This meeting has completely changed my life, and I'm so grateful. So all of my life, I have ran on my emotions. My emotions came first. So, you know, depending on what my emotions were, dependent on what I ate and whether I believed or whether I didn't believe. So then I'd have to pull my logic in. And then my logic would say, hey, Laura, you're forgetting something. And when I invite my higher power into the day, oh my gosh, what a beautiful thing. Yesterday I was just really, really, really struggling. Really struggling bad. And I had just done my fourth step. I felt so great. And then I disconnected with my higher power and bam, the cravings, the compulsion just came back 100%. And then I remembered, hey, you know, you have a higher power. Invite him back in. And I did. And this morning has been just really, really great. Really great. My higher power is just the most beautiful, beautiful experience of my life. And through this program, I have been able to connect more to him because I'm reminded more of him, especially of this chapter. I never thought I was agnostic. I always believed. I just didn't believe that he could cure my compulsive overeating. But he can, and he's doing that. Because of him, I have 2 months of abstinence, and it's fantastic. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you so much for the shares. I just am delighted. With that, I'll stop. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Laura Kay from California. And we have time for a 2-minute share. Who would like to take that?
Sarah N.
Sarah N. All right, Sarah, go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Sarah N., a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater in Northern California. So the line that really jumped out at me was, examine the evidence of our senses. And obviously, you know, I love that this really focuses on that logic is great stuff. We like it. We still like it. Not by chance. We're given the power to reason. And to examine the evidence of our senses. To me, that's how we all ended up here. We were examining the evidence of our senses, you know, that that taste sense, all whatever was happening to us. So, you know, when I eat, I get that instant relief, you know, provided that relief. And so the evidence just kept piling up and piling up, you know, that I would do the same thing over and over again, expect different results. But, you know, here I am. My life is still unmanageable. I still turn to the food, you know, to relieve whatever emotional distress I had or just, you know, the slightest feeling. And, you know, just years of this developing into a habit. So anyway, I really appreciate that line, you know, that the evidence of our senses and just the overall paragraph that basically like, hey, you know, what we were doing didn't work. And so that's our logic telling us, you know, we've got to figure out something else. And so why not? We don't know. And so here we are recovering one day at a time. Thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Well, and thank you, Sarah Ann from California. You'll be our last share for today, and we'll be back on the meeting again tomorrow. So thank you all who gave service in the month of April. We had Pam N., Joanne L., we had Shelley E., we had Laura R., we had Mary B., we have Lorraine N., and Leslie M. And if you're a newcomer, please wait till we close the meeting, and Lorraine will take your name. So we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I'm going to ask Leslie M. to read a vision for you. Good morning, Leslie.
Thank you, Mo, for your service. I am Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great thought for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.